Raised Rowdy.
All right, I'm Nikki T, and this is the Raised Rowdy podcast with our guest, Mr. Braden Stewart.
What's going on?
Thank you for being here, brother.
Dude, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My podcast co-host, Kurt, is, as you see, not here. he's out in New York with his girl doing some fun stuff. So.
Word.
But I'm glad this is working out, man. Been a pretty cool week so far. We got more cool stuff here that by the time this comes out, will already be out. But you're in town playing. You just played our Nothing Fancy Takeover.
I did. Last night at the Duck Blind with Matt James and Dylan Wheeler.
Dude, what a crew.
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
I actually got from the room, like, because I was like kind of hanging outside because it was so packed in there. I got like a couple texts like, who is this kid? That's always good.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
It's cool to see you in Nashville because the thing that you do is kind of different than what a lot of people here do, or just I'd say maybe even in general.
Yep.
You know, sonically, and then you know, how old are you now? You're not even 21 yet.
No,
right?
I'm 19. Yeah, I turned 20 crazy. In April. Yeah.
I remember having you. God, I guess it was last year. Play and
Losers
over at Losers, and just watching everybody react to it. Super cool,
dude. Yeah, that was a great time. We went out there with the band.
Yeah,
like the early kind of formation of it, you know, and so yeah, that was a great time.
It's
people
cool.
were really receptive,
man. It's neat. And that's like one of the things about Nashville is like when it sticks out, people really pay attention to
yeah.
it, you know.
Yeah,
and your thing that you're doing, I would say, sticks out here but also probably in Texas, right?
Yeah definitely. I mean, especially here, you know. I mean, in Texas it's like everybody's kind of influenced by similar stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's not too off kilter, I guess. It's
yeah.
like people know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And people know what I'm doing here. It's just I feel like it's a little more foreign.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm like in that round specifically.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of songwriters are really like they've got their thing down and people know what they're gonna hear, and and nobody there has heard of me. So that's cool that I get to get up there and do my thing and people like it.
Yeah. How would you explain sonically like what your thing is right now, like what you're doing in the world?
I always tell people it's just like alternative songwriter stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's not totally like Americana, it's not totally rock, but I think that it's right in the middle.
Yeah,
you know, to where it's like, I don't know, it's hard to really pin it down. So alternative has always been what I tell people.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's neat too to see like that lane opening back up where it's so much crossover with so many different genres. And
yep.
I mean, like grunge rock is kind of like when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah.
And seeing elements of that kind of leak back into mainstream culture is so sick.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of guys that are playing dance halls in Texas and honky tonks and bars that are rock bands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people love it. And I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool. I think that's rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Playing in a bar and being super loud. Mm-hmm. That's my shit. That's my bag.
Yep. How did you get into music usually? Because at the age you're at, the level of guitar and even songwriting that you're at seems leaps and bounds around, you know, different than other kids that are similar to the age to you.
I mean, so I started playing guitar when I was like 10, I was really big into like Metallica and like a lot of the metal bands that my dad was showing me. And so most of the music that I was exposed to, early was like metal stuff.
Yeah.
And then the country music was like, it was like the Texas guys, like Stoney LaRue and Cross Canadian, a lot of Cross Canadian.
Yeah.
And, so it was those two extremes with my dad, but my mom was really into like Matchbox 20 and Candlebox and those guys. And so the common theme with all of those guys is they're incredible songwriters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, all those songs are super well crafted and well thought out. And so I think that naturally the phase of like me wanting to be a guitar player was going to lead towards me wanting to write my own songs just because of the music I was listening to. But I didn't really get into writing until Purgatory by Tyler Childers came out.
Yeah.
I didn't really listen to a lot of country music until then.
Yeah.
But that was because like I wasn't totally into like the contemporary stuff. I mean, I liked it, but I was never what I listened to.
Yeah.
And so whenever like Healing Appalachia by Colter Wall came out and like in Purgatory, and then I got into Sturgill, and then Jason Isbell was shortly after that. And Jason Isbell's like my top artist. Like, it's insane. And he's so
good. Sonically,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's rad. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, and also those guys are great guitar players.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I had that to go off of.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was just natural, I feel like. You know, dude. I mean, yeah, those records are so incredible.
Yeah.
And those songs are so good and the playing is so good. And so I feel like that was it was really easy for me to pick up writing songs after, you know?
After that. Yeah. Dude, I remember when Purgatory came out and when I came upon it, it was so different sonically than mainstream country, but it also had some of the elements.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Where it's like hooks that are undeniable.
Yeah.
You know? Almost like it's close to pop rock hooks, maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
As country stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the back of course, Sturgill's kind of opening some of those doors a little bit wider.
Yep.
And then, I mean, probably my favorite album of the last 25 years is Southeastern by Isbell.
Dude, that record is
so good.
Yeah, man. When I Die, Bury Me in That Record. You know what I'm saying? That it's so good. And I don't know, listening to those songwriters, I feel like kind of lights a fire under anybody to want to say something.
Absolutely.
I feel like, I don't know, but yeah, those records have been huge for me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool too, because it's stretching the edges of what is genres.
Yep.
Right. And that's the part of country music that we're in right now. It's blues, country, rock, soul, R&B. Wallen just literally put out a 90s R&B song.
Yeah, you know? Dude. Yeah, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a lane for everything, but it's also put more attention on guys like Tyler.
Yep.
You know, guys like Sturgill, you know, like that lane of Americana rock blend, you know, whatever version of it's the album that they're putting out.
Absolutely.
The thing I always come back to with Purgatory specifically was when you listen to the songs on that are the biggest songs, you're like, this sounds like it should be on the radio.
Yep.
You know, it didn't sound like it was unradio playable. It wasn't like a whole new thing. It wasn't fully Americana even, right? It had elements where you're like, this sounds like it should be mainstream. Just the mainstream should be this.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, dude.
Which I think is cool.
Well, I mean, kind of going back to the genre thing, I think that music being as accessible as it is right now, you can't. You need to find a niche, but you also need to be able to appeal to other people.
Yeah.
You need to be able to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I love it. I think that, you know, guys like Austin Mead, you know, are playing these bars, or that were playing these bars doing rock music that are now, you know, touring. I think that's super rad. I think the same thing about Cole Barnhill. I think the same thing about, you know, Sterling Elza, the guys that are kind of established but still coming up. I think that they've found their thing and it sounds good and it works. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's just super cool.
It is.
I think that's that's awesome that they get to play the music that they're into wherever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's awesome.
I don't know if Pat and those guys told you, but you know, we have the show, which will be tomorrow, but when this comes out, you know, the basement show that we have Cole on. Bro, as soon as the booker saw Cole play, he's like, I want to bring this guy back.
Yeah,
immediately.
Dude. Yeah.
He got it immediately, you know, and hit up Gray. He was like, how do I get this guy for a headlining show here too? You know?
Yeah, bro.
But it's cool that a guy that literally books so many shows and sees so many different genres cross his stage in such a cool room immediately saw it and let's bring this back here.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Dude, there's a lot of guys that are doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think that a lot of the rock stuff that's coming out now stems from the music that I listen to and that you listen to.
Yeah.
And so it's coming back in a cool way.
How old's your dad?
My dad's 43, 42.
So he's my age.
He's going to get pissed whenever he hears this. But yeah, I think he's 42.
Yeah, so that's the same age as me. Mm. So he probably grew up on a similar background to what I did musically. And honestly, for me, my brother was 13 years older than me, so he fed me so much music, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of I don't have any kids, but it's kind of how now I'm showing my buddies old grunge rock or I remember I lived with my buddy Joe Bortner, and Jib does pretty traditional-ish Southern rock. it's a little bit more experimental than that, but it like sounds pretty close to the mainstream of that. And I was like, listen to this Soundgarden.
Dude, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, listen to this. Because his dad was a little bit older. So his dad had him on the Eagles and, you know, Blackberry Smoke and all of that stuff. But I was like, listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool to kind of get to show that to people. I feel like sometimes I'm like everyone's uncle, you know?
Dude, yeah, you should be. That. Yeah. You should be. If you've got the knowledge, you should be showing everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was the music that I listened to growing up. Mm-hmm. That was like mine and my dad's thing is like rock music. Like the first concert I ever went to is like 3 Days Grace and Disturbed when I was like 11, 12 years old with my dad.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he exposed me to so much and like constantly.
Yeah.
Like every time we got in the car, it was like, it was something new, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that was what I gravitated towards naturally. Yep. I don't know what it was, but that was the kind of sound that captured me early on.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, the reason it works is because it's good.
Yeah.
And there's emotion and it's real. And, and that's the same thing that drew me to the Purgatory record.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Sea Stories by Sturgill Simpson and, and Southeastern, you know, I mean, those records sound good. There's emotion, and they write those songs on purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a, they're not putting something together for people to like. They're putting something together because they have to.
Yeah.
And that's my kind of shit.
I love it too. Yeah. It's like, you don't know. There's something special about those records where, like, you don't know if it's going to work or not.
Right.
It's just what you have in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like an interesting thing because as you get bigger, you kind of know it'll work. You know?
Yeah.
You might have an idea. Is it going to like really work?
Yeah.
But you're like, I already got this rolling.
Yeah.
But when you're first putting your first stuff out into the world or you're first like taking a chance on a different kind of project, like I can only assume they had that like nervousness of like, is this really what the people want to hear?
Yeah.
But what the people really want to hear is what lives inside of you.
Dude, absolutely. That's the perfect way to put that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If people are into the way you sound, then they want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And I don't know. I think that that's kind of been the purpose of music in my life is like hearing what people have to say.
Absolutely.
And that's why I love doing these shows and with people I've never met and they're all playing strictly original music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like doing that's a cool. songwriter round with, you know, 12 artists or however many were on it last night. I mean, dude, that's sick. You know what I'm saying? All these people are writing their own songs and they have the balls to get up and sing it in front of people.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot to be said about that, I think.
And one of the cool parts about like a writer's round is you can try stuff that you're like, is, I don't know.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. I heard so many people last night say, this is a new one. I'm going to see how it goes. You know what I'm saying? And everybody dug it.
Yep. And that's the perfect room to do it in though.
Yep.
Cause then you're like, oh, they really like the third one. You know, it's kind of like A&R or like TikTok before you put it on the internet.
Yeah, dude.
It's just a different time, you know?
Yeah.
But there's not that many places that get to experience that. So we're just super lucky in Nashville to have a platform where artists are willing to come out and like share their talents and play for each other and meet new friends and find other people that you're like, my vibe is like that vibe.
Yeah.
Let's like connect and be buds.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think also playing for each other is a big thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like whenever I was playing last night, I was playing with Matt and Dylan.
Yeah.
And I was obviously playing to the crowd, but I was more so being like, what do you guys think? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, be honest. Tell me if I suck, but what, you know, what do you think?
Well, that's super cool though, because it's like those guys are a little bit older than you, of course. You know, they've been doing it for a while.
Yep.
Playing big stages. So like getting to watch them interact with your music and like dig it is sick.
Dude, yeah. It's a great feeling, you know? Because I don't know, when I first started, you know, I mean, I first started when I was 17 or 16, turning 17. Nobody cares about what a 16, 17 year old is
You're
doing.
You're figuring it out.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so now that I've kind of got some years under my belt and I've kind of got a thing that I do, seeing people that I look up to respond to that well is very gratifying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Super cool.
Absolutely.
It's an interesting thing too, man. It's like, they love it too because it's inspiring on the other side. It's like, damn, like, this is cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes people like want to think outside of the box a little more.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the cool things about whether you're on the road with another artist that you believe in, you get to watch kind of how they do it.
Yep.
Or if you're in town, like kind of get to like show and prove, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it just fuels you more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, dude, there's nothing more inspiring than a guy that's better than you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was up there with two people that were leaps and bounds better than me. You know what I'm saying?
You held your own, don't worry.
I think I might have held my own, but
did.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, just, I mean, if you just look at it from a logical standpoint, these guys are more seasoned.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it'd be ignorant for me to get up there and be like, look at me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm trying to steal from them. You know what I'm saying?
But sometimes that all goes back in a circle, man. It's
absolutely.
Like, that's one of the things we hear a lot of, like, folks that have, you know, kind of toured and will come back and do an event with us. They're like, seeing all this energy and just watching people push just makes me want to work harder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you guys have been very blessed with so some blessed. Of the venues and the people that you guys have got around that are fueling that, nurturing that. I think that's a big part of all of this.
It is, man. It's like, it's a community.
Yeah.
Like, we're just kind of like a beacon for people to build that thing. And
yeah.
just watching people become friends through our events. And then, like, watching people, like, when Ella Langley wrote That's Why We Fight after playing one of our Butt Rock nights.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and in an interview, she was like, we went into it, and I was like, we kind of want to write a Butt Rock song tonight.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a great song.
It's hilarious, yeah. but, like, it's great, you know?
Yeah.
Just little things that can help inspire creative talents. You know,
absolutely.
If those people weren't creative and weren't always thinking and pushing themselves and moving the needle, then it wouldn't do anything. But
no.
just being able to have so many creative, open-minded, talented people all in one area like this, it's like, it's fun.
It's naturally going to create something.
Yeah.
People are going to gravitate towards it. Because,
yeah.
I mean, the people in the crowd see it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
If they're coming to hang out and watch, then they see it. You
yeah.
know? And that's, I don't know. I just think it's really cool, and I'm super blessed to get up and be able to fly out here and play.
Man, it is. It's nuts. And
yeah.
you got a good team around you, helping you steer,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Hungry people on that end as well.
Absolutely.
And honestly, like, you're just at the point where you're dropping music.
Oh, yeah.
So let's chat about that, like, rolling out of kind of like the first stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I've got some acoustic stuff out, but, I mean, that was all, like, very early on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just recorded with some of my buddies.
Yep.
But this next project is the first, like, full-length, like, professional, like, this record is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we've got a song coming out. I don't know when this comes out, but it'll be coming out on February 28th.
Yeah.
And so, and we're pumped for that. People have been reacting to that relatively well.
Yep. The social stuff looks really good.
Dude, yeah. We shot some promo stuff with 613 Media.
Yep.
And, dude, they made it.
Looks
they
sick.
Made it everything, you know. I'm not good at lip syncing or acting, so they made it. They made me look good.
Dude, that's part of it. It's like a weird thing. I remember talking to, like, Josh Ross about it. He's like, this is what I got to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird, but, like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't want to hang gutters, so I'll
exactly.
lip sync. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's better than putting up drywall.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And so, but yeah. So that's coming out this month in February. And then next month, we've got another song.
Yeah.
And then in April, we're putting out a whole bunch of stuff.
So
I don't want to give too many details because I don't want to get in trouble. But
yeah,
we've got a lot of stuff coming, and I'm pumped for all of it. We went to a cabin in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, with Philip Kirk Mosley, and my boy Mike Stanky, and we went up there with the band and we cut for 4 or 5 days and we just hung out and had a great time. So this whole record is my band. These are all songs that I wrote or some of my buddies wrote. I mean, this is as authentic as I could be.
Yeah.
In however many songs we're going to put out.
So cool.
Yeah, dude, we're pumped.
Yeah.
We're super pumped. We're super blessed. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to let that slip. I'm super blessed to have that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cool, man. And it's one of those weird things where, like, if you hear about record labels now, record labels aren't really doing much artist development.
Mm-mm.
So it takes, you know, Maverick managers and it takes Maverick, like, booking companies and stuff to, like, they're investing before any labels or anyone
yep.
is, you know,
yep.
like, if you have the right booking and you have the right, you know, people that can get you in writer's rooms that you want to be in, like, the last thing you need is a label.
Absolutely.
You know? That can take it to the moon if that's where you want to go.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't need that shit.
No. And I think right now with the way the kind of climate is mm-hmm. if you want to be authentic, and you want to do what you want to do, then you just need a good team.
Yep.
You just need like 3 or 4 guys that have
ride
a strong intuition
yep.
and they're willing to do what it takes,
yep.
whatever that looks like.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And luckily I've got 3 or 4 guys that are willing to do what it takes.
Yep.
And so, and a whole bunch of buddies, back home that are super cool. And we all play shows together and we all write together. And
yep.
so, I mean, Dude, yeah, I've been so blessed for real with some of the most beautiful people I've ever met and I'll ever meet.
It's cool, man. It's like, that's part of the coolest part about the musical world is just like people finding their people.
Yep.
You know, and the people that believe in you as much as you believe in them and then just going to war together, man.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, especially, I don't know. I don't want to speak on everybody's experience, but whenever I was younger, nobody listened to the music that I listened to.
Yeah.
And if they did, then they didn't care about it as much. Not, and that's not even a, that's not a dig at anybody. It's just, yeah. I was totally encapsulated and, you know, I was totally captured by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, meeting people that are, you know, that are also super into it and they went through the same things and they look at the music the same way I do.
Yeah.
That's all I could ever really hope for. You know what I'm saying? I care more about that than, you know, than just about anything,
man. And that's like kind of what the roots of Raise Rowdy is. It's just, I was obsessed with music from grunge rock when I was a kid based on my brothers to like, you know, 90s country that my dad was playing to like when I found 2012, like Zach Bryan's Foundation album. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then like everything, I just became obsessed.
Yeah. You know? Well, you guys pay attention, man. Yeah. And that's evident. You know what I'm saying? You guys listen to good stuff that means something. And that's why people want to play on these stages is because if, you know, if they're booking with y'all, then there's something, you know what I'm saying?
It's cool to hear that. Honestly, like I remember we had a Zach Top on the pod, like, I guess like, man, like two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
Like before it was like really popping.
Yeah.
And I was like, this dude's sick.
Yeah.
And his manager at the time, Jensen, told Zach, he was like, if Raise Rowdy's paying attention to you, it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was like, that's cool to hear, man.
Yeah, man. You know? I mean, like, that's what makes these opportunities super sweet for me is like, you guys have so many people you're looking at. And so me being able to come up here is huge for me. That means, you know, that's a big compliment to me.
Well, man, it's like we talked about, it's standing out in the crowd. And dude, when you're on stage, no one's looking away from you, whether it's from your singing or you're playing guitar, it's the whole experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I see as much of like Joe Bonamassa in you as I do like, you know, Sturgeon or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it's super cool to like, just get to watch you play. And I can't wait to see full band stuff.
Oh, dude, we're so excited.
I'm excited.
We're so excited. Yeah, we've been on the road a little bit.
Yeah.
We're kind of more well-oiled now than we were. And so we're stoked.
That's so great. I remember like the first time we met like and had an event with like the Yellow Rose folks.
Mm-hmm.
It was Cole, Sterling, Matt was there, Matt James, and a bunch of other folks too. But like watching Sterling for the first time, I'm like, fuck. And
then
watching Cole and just like, this is like 90s grunge rock. It's sick as fuck.
Yeah.
But all of this stuff is all kind of adjacent to each other.
Yep.
It's all the same world. It's just what version or what corner of that box are you
in?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's
like,
super cool.
We've been doing a lot of shows with Cole lately. And so, I mean, watching his people react to his stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, bro, they're so tight.
Yeah.
And they've got their shit locked in and the songs sound great. But, you know, like we're playing Love and War in Plano, which had Jamie Richards, which is like a godfather of country music, like Texas country music.
Yeah.
He played there like the weekend after. And so seeing Cole put people in that room that paid attention was, it's just eye opening. I feel like it kind of makes it seem like, you know, if this guy can do what he wants to do in these rooms, then I can do what I want to do in these rooms.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We're super blessed to be opening for him. His guys are so sweet.
Yeah.
And we've opened for Sterling as well. And they're rad, man.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their shit locked.
Yep.
And that's inspiring. That's what makes us want to be better.
Yeah. Well, you watch it and Sterling's not that much older than you.
Mm-mm.
You know, like
I think he's like a year or two.
Yeah. I think he's like 21, maybe.
Yeah.
22, maybe.
Yeah.
And so just like watching him be as dialed in as he is too. You know, and Cole's not that much older either, you know, just watching that whole come up. And we've gotten lucky enough to like see Austin Mead as he was figuring out his exact lane.
Yeah.
You know, like where he wanted to go. He,
that's
like how Sam from Rowdy Alternative, that's how Sam found us was Austin came and crashed with my roommate when I moved here and I had him on the pod and he was like, what's this Raise Rowdy shit?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude.
So it was like super cool. And Sam's became, you know, one of our, honestly, like biggest ambassadors, but also just incredibly covered the Oklahoma, Texas scene.
Yep.
That like rock crossover thing.
Yep.
And just like really dug into that just on his love of music, like,
yeah,
like our love of music.
Absolutely. You know? Dude, there's so much. There's so much of that going on right now. It's like crazy. You can't walk into a bar in Texas that has live music and not hear people that are inspired by that. It's, you so know what I'm cool. saying? And so, and also I think that, you know, a lot of the younger guys like myself and Sterling and Cole, and mm-hmm. there's guys back home like Zach Burnett and, mm-hmm. And all of my friends that are playing, dude, we're all inspired by the same stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so naturally it all kind of, we pick from our different corners of it, but I don't know, dude, it's just, it's really fun to watch.
Yep.
You know, I love watching people like play and,
oh, yeah.
And see what they're doing. And so getting to open for Cole and Sterling and those guys is awesome.
What is like a dream opening slot? Like a band that you would just be like, how did I get here?
Oh, dude, I would love to open for Blackberry Smoke.
Yeah.
That's like, I just feel like their live show is so great. And I don't know, I'm kind of a gearhead.
Yeah.
And so they all have badass stuff, you know what I'm saying? Signature stuff. I mean, also Jason Isbell, obviously.
Yeah.
For similar reasons. Yeah. I've seen Jason in Fort Worth, and it was, I don't know, dude, mind altering experience.
Spiritual.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I cried. I don't care. I'll say it on the pod. I cried.
Man, it's the music is that thing that can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, that's the powerfulness.
Yeah. It's the most expressive art form, absolutely, in my opinion. Agree. And so, but yeah, I'd say that if I could open for Blackberry Smoke, I'd be like, I can hang my hat on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can wrap it up. You
super
know?
Cool. Well, definitely not wrap it up, but yeah. Give it another way.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, dude.
So I know we're going to be actually having you do a recording here with us too.
Yep.
One of the first one of this year. We had did a few last year, but we're trying to ramp more up.
Dude, yeah, I'm excited.
So I'm very excited too. And it won't be lip syncing. You actually get to sing.
Hell yeah.
But like, so in terms of touring, do you have anything else like really on the books for like summer, fall, or are you guys still trying to figure that out?
We have some more stuff with Cole.
Yeah.
I think we're lining up some more stuff with Blacktop Mojo.
Sick.
We were on the road with them this last weekend. Yeah. We played up in Oklahoma, and it was so much fun, dude.
Crazy.
They've got a dedicated fan base.
They rocked it.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, dude, Matt James might be the best vocalist I've so ever good. Met in my entire life.
He's so good.
But yeah, I know we've got some more stuff with Cole. I think we're lining some more stuff up with Matt. But I think once the music comes out, we're gonna try and do some headlining stuff of our own and push it and see what we can do. But I know that we've just got some cool shows on the books that are just kind of, we're just waiting on that confirmation text.
Yeah.
So
that's sick though.
Absolutely.
It's all starting to come together. And honestly, like we talked about, it's like you get a few moments where you kind of get to start defining who you are.
Yep.
And I feel like you're right at that moment. Right.
Oh
now.
Yeah. I'm waiting on something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can feel it. The guys can feel it. Once we get the music out, that moment's gonna,
yeah,
I feel like that moment will come, and it won't be as obvious, but it'll be important.
Yeah.
You know,
you'll look back on it and be like, oh,
there it was.
Yeah.
There it was. You know? That was the thing.
Yeah. It's super cool, man. Just get to watch it and watch you turn in from like just a guy who's sick as fuck to like really understanding who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's been the whole journey up to this point, mm-hmm. is like, I know I can do these things relatively well.
Yeah.
Now, how do I make myself stand out from the other guys that can do it better?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's like the mentality you need is like, how can I stand out? How can I keep getting better?
Yeah.
You know, the people that run it like perfectionist are,
yep,
the ones that keep innovating, keep,
yeah,
pushing, keep moving that needle.
Dude, the goalposts are always moving,
yeah,
for all the guys I know and for myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As soon as I write a good song that people like, the next one I write has to be that much better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's to me like why this record is so important, is because there's songs on it that I wrote when I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
That we play with the band, and then there's songs that I wrote 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you kind of see that in their songwriting and in everything.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, when I listen back to it, it's like, man, like this is kind of everything I am up to this point.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think I'm really excited for it. You know what I'm saying? It's because I think the right people will get a hold of it.
Well, and we're excited for it too, man. And that's the best part about getting to put out projects, is like, it's a statement in time.
Yep.
Of like where you came from, where you are, and then the next thing's where you're going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude. It's a good way to put it. I'm excited for, I'm honestly ready to get back and cut another one, dude. You know what I'm saying? Sick. It's going to be good.
We always hear that too. Like, everyone's like, man, wait till you hear the next stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just so cool to just keep getting excited about the stuff that you have on the line.
Dude, yeah, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like getting better and you know, I've got three songs that aren't on the record that are new that I would sit here and play for you before I played anything from the record. You know what I'm saying? Because I would want you to hear this. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Just and that motivates you. It also motivates everyone else around you.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, more ammo in the tank, the next level of thing.
And yeah.
Then it's like figuring out, you know, again, like, what is the live show? Like, what do the people love in the live show? How can you give them more of that?
Yep.
Sometimes you end up writing to like, okay, this song kicks ass in the live show. Can I get something that's in that vein?
That's,
you know,
a dude. I mean? Yeah, that's been so. Like lately, we've been doing new stuff.
Yeah.
In the live set as well, because we've been, I don't know, like we're big into the jam stuff, and so we're trying to like really get the live show like down pat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like really locked in, and so like we've been doing some new stuff that's rad, and we love it, and so it's almost like, man, I wish we had a full set of stuff like this. You know what I'm saying?
But it'll come, you know?
Yeah.
That's the part of it, too, is, man, I remember seeing Isbell the first time after Southeastern came out and just watching him play through that album. And you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
But then getting to watch the future shows where he has the pieces of that but has the heavier stuff, you know, that he kind of went back to.
Yep.
And even some of the more, like, insightful things from there. You know, just watching the show develop is one of the best parts about being a music fan too.
Yeah.
Is you get to see it happen and then you get to watch where it goes.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, I feel like whenever you're at that level, you know, the better you get, the harder it gets to really
wow the crowd.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you put a record out like Southeastern, the next record has to be crazy, in my opinion. And so that's what I'm hoping for this record. I'm hoping that we put out this record, people really dig it, and then when we go back, it's like, all right,
got to really put it.
We've got to really, and then I hope that that's what happens until I die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I want
to
do.
Well, and that's the dream, man. And it's about the drive and the want to and the being willing to explore. Because you know your sound's your sound, but like if you do a complete 180, they don't know what to do.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
You're basically acquiring a whole new fan base.
Yeah.
But if you can take it 30% and make it different and make it equally powerful.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That is powerful.
Yeah, and I mean, dude, we could sit here and do a whole podcast about Jason Isbell, but
you
know what I'm saying? But like, I think that that's what makes the solo stuff as popular as the 400 unit stuff.
Yeah, agreed.
It's because it's like, it's still him, it's different, but there's the thing that you like about him is still there.
Yeah.
The sound is, you know, the sonically, it's very different.
Yep.
But what you like about the music is still there.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm trying to take into the next project and into the live show is like, you know, what you came to see, we're going to do differently for an hour and a half, but it's not going to feel weird. It's going to be cohesive.
Yes. Which I think is sick.
Yeah, dude.
And man, like solo projects like that, like Cornell with Euphoria Morning and, you know, back to those, like, I didn't get that as much when I was young.
Yep.
I didn't like understand it. And then when I went back and listened to it in post as like a real adult, I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I get it more now.
Yeah.
I understand what he was doing.
Yeah.
I still like Soundgarden and Audioslave more.
Yep.
But I'm like, okay, I understand and like can get into this more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, people love whenever a rock band or a rock artist do acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if you ask anybody what their favorite Alice in Chains record is, if it's not one of the full band things, it's Unplugged.
Yeah.
Same thing with Pearl Jam.
Nirvana,
same thing with
me.
Nirvana.
Yeah.
I love the Stone Temple Pilots Unplugged record. I think that record's incredible. You know what I'm saying? I think that's one of my favorite performances, Unplugged. But like I said, it's the thing you like is still there.
Yeah.
Because the songs are good enough.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The songwriting is powerful enough and the vocal performance is powerful enough and there's a melody and there's a hook and there's everything you would want in a song.
Yep.
But when you strip it back, it's that much more obvious.
Yeah.
So, I mean, dude, Cornell's Unplugged stuff is
insane.
Insane.
His vocal's just absurd.
Yeah.
So
he could do anything.
Yeah. It expresses it in such a different way.
Yeah.
Like when he was touring before he passed, like doing the songbook kind of vibes.
Yeah.
It was so powerful because he could sing anything.
Yeah.
You know, he literally could sing anything.
Yeah.
And I remember, dude, one of my favorite shows of all time was him after he left Slave.
Yeah.
Like when he was like, and he did Slave. He did some of his like Euphoria Morning stuff. Yep. He did all kinds of Soundgarden stuff.
Yep.
And the last song of his encore was Jesus Christ Pose. And he's just screaming.
Oh, no. That's awesome.
As the last song.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, how do you have this left in your voice?
Dude.
You know?
That's how I think about a lot of the cats that are still going. I mean, dude, the Foo Fighters. Oh, Dave Grohl has been screaming for,
his head off.
Yeah, for 3 hours a night, yeah, for 10, 20 years.
It's crazy.
And he's still got it. You know what I'm saying? I envy that. You know what, yeah, I'm saying? I got to take care of my voice, unfortunately.
Bro, that's part of the thing, though.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, like, they said, like, Cornell would not talk on tour, and Whiskey Myers kind of does,
yeah,
that, too. You know, Cody, like,
you know,
he's out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's still hanging out, but he's not.
Yeah.
He knows he has to protect it.
Yeah.
You know, it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But it is also telling that you at 19 are taking care of it.
Oh, dude, I have to.
Right.
I have to. I'm already prone to some stuff because of some prior things.
Yeah.
And so, I mean.
But there's so many people that aren't thinking like that.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I mean, so, dude, I don't know. People don't understand it, I don't think. I've done a good job up to this point, I feel like. But, dude, it never recovers 100%. You know,
no,
you're always going to keep ticking down, you know what I'm saying? You'll get to 99%, you'll get to 97%.
Yeah.
And if you never take care of it, you'll never be able to sing,
yeah,
like to your fullest potential. And that's scary to me.
It
you
is.
Know what I'm saying?
It's an interesting thing though, because like you hear people's voices develop over time, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the tone and,
yeah,
all of that. And think about like John Mayer.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
His vocal is extremely different now,
yeah,
than it was when he was hitting those higher notes and stuff,
yep,
back in the day. He can't play some of those songs anymore. Not,
no,
the same way.
No.
You know?
Dude, a big example for me is Chino from Deftones.
Yeah. Yep.
He went through some hard stuff with his voice.
Yes.
And I saw him live probably 3 years ago. And he sounded great.
Yeah.
But he didn't sound like those records.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can't. You know what I'm saying? No. Once you get older, like, that stuff, I feel like, starts to go away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't sing hard enough to where I'd run into that. But I don't want to ever run into that. You,
right,
know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, dude, as a guitar player, you can play guitar a lot longer,
oh,
than,
yeah,
as a singer you can sing.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
That's been my thing. Is like,
yeah,
if this, for some reason, doesn't work out, I'll just play guitars in bands and I'll,
well,
just show up and play.
I mean, dude, think about all of the guys that are guitar legends that have okay voices. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So you can do the right stuff without that, too.
Absolutely.
But it is super powerful when you have a clear voice that is distinct.
Yep.
And you can play fucking guitar like that.
Yeah, dude. I think that's been most of my bag up to this point. You,
yeah,
know what I'm saying? Is if you're not paying attention to one thing, at least I've got this other thing. You know what,
yeah,
I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
if you're not really a guitar player, at least I can sing.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
know what I'm saying? And if you're not really digging my voice, you might be into my playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're into both, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much.
Man, of course. Well, thanks for hopping on. I'm going to make you go over and we're going to record this song.
Let's
do it.
I'm
excited about it, man. Anything else you want to pitch or tell everybody where they can follow you on socials?
Yeah. So my Instagram is BradenStewart.tx. My TikTok is Official Braden Stewart. Go follow me on there. I'm posting a whole bunch of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Shows, covers, videos of the songs. I mean, there's pre-save links. You know what I'm saying? If you're curious, then all the right stuff is on my socials right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So y'all go follow me, come to a show. I don't know, buy some merch. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying? Just come hang out. We want to see you.
Hey, man, we're super excited for this project and what's coming next to be rolling through the world, man.
Me too.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T, and this is Braden Stewart over here, and we'll see you in the front row at a Braden Stewart concert.
See y'all later.